Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
There is a carnitas stand by my house. Have I told you about this carnitas stand, Jordan?
No, let's hear about it.
There's a carnitas stand by my house. And you know, like, you can get carnitas at any taqueria or taco stand or taco truck. Like,
yeah, fairly common meat preparation.
But they usually, it's like a make ahead. You know what I mean? They're not making the carnitas on the truck or sometimes not even in the restaurant. You know what I mean? Unless it's a carnitas. This stand is just a carnitas stand. So it's just a giant, you know, kettle.
Right.
Like a giant copper kettle.
Oh, yeah.
They're poaching pork and lard. And then they scoop it out. They ask you what kind you want, because there's different kinds of carnitas depending on what part of a pig you want. You ask mixed, and then they sell it to you by the pound.
Wow. Can you get it on a taco or a torta or something? Well, or like, are you just buying bags of meat?
They will put it on a tortilla for you, but that's not what the stand is there for.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, do you want to know how much of a pound of carnitas I will eat?
Ooh, boy. Okay, so are you just eating it out of the bag? Or
yeah, well, not exclusive. I mean, yes, but not exclusively.
Are you
Does
taking
that make
it?
Sense?
Are you,
so when they put it in the bag for me,
it is a bag. I'm presuming it's a bag. I was imagining a bag.
Usually, you get it in a brown
what's
paper
the
bag.
What's the receptacle?
Brown paper, like a see-through from fat brown paper bag. Yes, I am eating it out of there. I do bring it home. So theoretically, I'm buying a pound and I'm bringing it to my family for dinner.
So you could have one for the, you know, while you're buying, I'm assuming this is close. So you could have one for the family and then one for the walk home.
So I picked it up.
Can you take down a whole pound on the walk home?
I picked it up around 3 o'clock in the afternoon for dinner on my way home. And I hadn't eaten that much lunch. So I ate a taco while I was there. I ordered a pound of carnitas and a taco.
Right.
In addition, while they were packing up the pound, I ate the taco. So I went ahead and took down the taco. Then, yes, I ate some carnitas with my hands while I was driving home.
Sticking a bare hand in there? Like Winnie the Pooh getting honey.
Yeah.
Getting honey from the tree.
My head is stuck in the carnitas jar.
Right.
And then...
Oh, somebody draw it. Somebody out there draw it.
I brought it home. I got it all the way to the house, and I did eat some more between then and dinner because it's, you know, you're passing by. What, are you going to not eat it? You know what I mean? It would be ridiculous. It's right there.
Yeah.
It's poached in lard.
Could not eat it, but...
Is that really an optional situation, Jordan? Realistically.
So how much would you say? So you have this 1 pound bag that.
Yeah. How much would I say other members of my family ate?
Is the bag gone?
Yeah, it's done. Done.
Okay, bag's done. Yeah.
It's cashed.
So between you and the 9 or 10 other members of your family.
Yeah. So I have 3 children, 2 dogs, and 1 wife. That's the members of my family. They all got some. They all had access to it. I would say they ate. Now, remember that I did eat a taco before.
Are you adding this to the... Are you going to add this to the pound as you're calculating this?
Well, that's part of what I ate. But what they ate, I would say, would be... I'm going to give generously 4 ounces. And this meat is gone. Overall, the meat is gone. Done. No more. There's none left. There's some onions and cilantro left if you want that.
I don't.
Some tiny lemon wedges.
You know what? I do want it. Put it in the mail.
Oh, great. You know what? I'll drive it over to Bungalow Heaven. I'm on my way to Pasadena right now, Jordan.
Just throw it on my porch.
Just put it in a brown paper bag, light the bag on fire, and ring your doorbell.
Yeah. Then I'll be disappointed when it's not dog shit. Oh, usually when this happens, it's dog shit.
Yeah, I don't know. Is 3/4 of a pound of carnitas too much carnitas to eat before you record a comedy podcast?
Boy, yeah. Are you gonna, if you go to sleep, mm-hmm. here's what we'll do. I guess we're not doing this in person. We're doing this over Zoom. So maybe we'll see if Brian can get us a little filter that'll put a sleeping cap on your head.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll me and our guest will slowly tiptoe out of the podcast. Don't wake him up. He had a big day and he's all tuckered out from eating pork.
Tomorrow I'm at the doctor, mm-hmm. and he says, "Well, the results from your sleep study are in, and you died 3 times.
Is your doctor Sam Elliott?
You died of pork. You're suffering from a condition called pork death.
Yes, you're now in a state of living pork death. You'll actually die come the next full moon.
The Chinese would say that the hogs have stolen your breath.
Who's this doctor you're going to?
He's a really intense doctor.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we introduce our guest on the show?
I would love to.
Our guest on the program is a celebrated writer of animation, including most recently as a story editor of the television program Jellystone. Very funny show for the whole family. Ben Gruber. Hi, Ben.
Oh my God, hello. I want to get right into meat talk.
Thanks, Ben.
Meat.
I mean,
meat. Meat.
Thanks for getting serious.
I have moved away from Los Angeles about a year ago, almost exactly a year ago. Now, as you know, Los Angeles had become a haven of the birria taco, which is, of course, some sort of a stewed meat that you would, they would stick in a tortilla, they would grill it, and you would dip it into a consommé, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Some yes. sort of a consommé.
Yeah. sort of a consommé, yeah.
Now.
So what was this, like a, some kind of consommé?
Yeah, like a consommé, yeah.
I kind of wanted, we should all say it. Hey, you, listening at home, say consommé. Say it to your loved ones.
So I'm just crushing birria tacos left and right. Yeah. That's the only thing getting me through the pandemic.
Where's your birria coming from?
Well, there was that truck over near Silver Lake that would sometimes park under a bridge.
I've been to that one. I've been to that bridge truck. It rules.
Yes, the bridge truck was awesome.
I love to support a troll-owned business.
Yeah. So to get the tacos, you have to answer 3 riddles.
Yeah.
Sometimes these annoying billy goats come by. Anyway.
Then there was a store opened up in Burbank that started to sell them next to, what's that Cuban bakery that everybody loves?
Porto's,
exactly. They had them, and then they started making birria ramen, so salty.
Yeah.
Talk about the walking death. I mean, my doctors were not happy. But anyhow, so I've moved to upstate New York, not birria tacos here, and it's been a problem, a real bad problem. I've been driving to like other upstate towns to try to find birria tacos.
I like the idea that you're like, God, I gotta find some birria. You know where I bet they have that? Woodstock.
Gotta get my ass to Albany. Yeah, I bet the tacos are hard to come by, but you probably find a lot of beautiful apples you can pluck right from the tree.
There's a beautiful orchard near me that also hosts concerts. The Decemberists will be playing there soon. And some other folks.
You had an apple orchard? That's a little. Is that for On the Nose Fest?
Yes.
I miss getting tickets to On the Nose Fest.
Yeah.
The newspaper described the people playing there as if it were the playlist of the character from the OC.
I don't know. This is a thing that I totally missed. Despite being from Orange County, I don't really know anything that went on the television show The OC, and I realize it was a big cultural moment. I have no OC facts in my head.
It's the same, Ben, just so you know, it's the same for me and Nash Bridges. Despite the fact that I'm from San Francisco, I don't know it very much at all about our most important cultural export.
Do you know about the movie Grind?
No.
Does that register with you two at all?
The only San Francisco thing that I really know about, frankly, is Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, which I know a ton about, probably too much about.
I am familiar with MTV's The Grind.
Yeah.
Which, if you're a young man coming of age in, 1992, 1993, and, obviously, erotica is hard to come by.
Yeah, it's tough. You have to go out and find it in the woods before the internet.
Or, in a pinch, you can crank it to the grind.
At the end of the day, as long as you don't lose your boner when you hear high NRG music.
High NRG. So there, I grew up in Philadelphia, and there was a local version of the grind, like an American Bandstand kind of thing.
Wow.
Or whatever. I cannot remember what the name of it was.
It was just hot Eagles fans shaking their asses.
Shaking their asses and throwing batteries.
But
you were saying.
Algebra teacher at my high school, his daughter was a regular on the show.
Wow.
She went by the moniker of Princess. Mm-hmm. And can you guess who she would dress up as every single episode?
I mean, my first thought is Prince Valiant.
Well, you're sort of in the right thing. Prince.
Oh.
So she would wear like purple outfits and the fringy thing that would like hang in front of her face. But boy, did I have like a real puberty thing with her. And then the algebra teacher brought her into school.
Wow. Yeah. Was she dressed as Prince?
Yeah. To do a demonstration?
She had her thing. Yes. He's like, if you see her hips move, it's really all just algebra.
It's all just angles, folks.
Yeah, it's just...
That really is a genre of television that I don't think still exists anymore, that I would broadly call horny dancing.
Isn't that just what TikTok is? Like, isn't that why...
I think that's completely
hasn't
true.
That
yes.
sort of energy just...
Yeah,
and
I,
then,
I
so
watched
you
it.
Can, and then so you can like... so you can kind of watch other horny young people and then learn if you have ADHD.
Yeah, I watched...
which is hot. The H stands for hot.
Ton of Soul Train as a kid. Mm-hmm. And like what was powerful to me about Soul Train is it had that amazing animated train with the theme song by MFSB. Soul Train, that song, and the train is coming down the tracks. Mm-hmm. And when you're young enough, it's like one of those things where you're not sure what kind of show it is, because it seems like a cartoon show, but it's also giving you prepubescent horniness.
Right.
And there's music. Then Kool and the Gang is doing Celebration. It's like a very mixed experience. Sure.
Now, imagine that same opening, but with that, like one of the first movies ever shot of that train coming towards you. And like somebody like speaking through one of those megaphones going like, Soul Train.
Celebrate good times, come on with your baby. And you're watching it on a sheet projected in a tent.
There is a video. I feel like I have brought this up on Jordan Jesse Go before because it's just an important part of my lived experience. Right. But there is a video on YouTube that is just a compilation of Rosie Perez dancing on Soul Train.
Yes.
And the thing about Rosie Perez as a dancer is like Rosie Perez was a good dancer. Like, don't get me wrong. But like Rosie Perez's dancing was not about her moves or her like grace or like really what it's about is her fucking making a face that is so intensely sexual that you can't watch it without sweating. Like I think a heterosexual woman would break out in a cold sweat from the intensity of the sexuality that comes out of this video of Rosie Perez dancing. And it truly, like, it's so seared into my very sense of being from having watched it that, like, I don't think any TikToker could ever generate that amount of feeling.
Do you feel like Downtown Julie Brown brought that to you at all, or?
I mean, she did, but it's nothing. It's truly okay. Nothing. In fact, I would argue that there is no human experience that can compare in intensity to watching this video, even just in the little, not even in cinema mode on YouTube, just in the regular little window. You'd not full screen, not the bigger one that goes across the top, just the little one.
And how, so are you, just given that this is such a part of your being, do you get excited every time she pops up as a supporting character in an HBO Max original?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely 100% yes.
When you watch White Man Can't Jump, do you bust?
White Man can bust. They can't jump.
When she's live tweeting boxing matches, I have feelings. It is like such an extraordinary, it is such an extraordinary phenomenon. It is like nothing else in the world. Just her making faces at the camera. Yeah.
Ben, I'm sorry you can't get the tacos you love so much. but you are a man I know. I from knowing you socially, I know that you are passionate about food.
Very.
We've talked about the downsides. What are the upsides to living in upstate New York when it comes to...
Well, let me say this. I'm hip deep in chicken parm. I am...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm like real deep into it. Like...
Yeah.
I forgot, like, so I had moved from the East Coast, you know, to California, and you're, you know, there's a lot of great food there, obviously, but your red sauce Italian, a little bit lacking. Come back here, just busting moves on parms left and right. Every kind of parm. That's great. I'm, you know, I'm a few hours away from Buffalo, so obviously the Buffalo wing game is very strong here. And because I'm also kind of close to Canada, the poutine game is very strong here.
Interesting. Oh,
so basically, you know, everything that'll kill you is great. It's great here. Sure.
There's a place here that's sort of halfway between my house and our office that is called East Side Italian Deli. And at East Side Italian Deli, which is in a neighborhood that can only be described as not a neighborhood. Like it is... It is basically on like a weird island in a freeway, like sort of near Dodger Stadium, like in an abandoned strip mall. Like it's very weirdly placed. And it's just one of those things that has just been there for 100 years or something while like cities grew and empires grew and fell around it. And you go in there and you order a chicken parm sandwich. Or you order a meatball sub and you are just surrounded by dudes that could beat you up at any moment. Not just are capable of, but it's like, it's imminent. Like these dudes are just firefighters and police officers and just other people who are mad at you for seeming too artistic. And it is so worth
Jesse,
it.
Jesse, just put down the jazz hands when you walk in there. You don't have to walk in with jazz hands.
I'm here
for
a palm.
They frame my face, Jordan. They frame my face.
That's true.
You know I look chunky without the jazz hands. But like seriously, I will go into East Side Italian Deli. Like if for whatever reason I have to be home in the morning and then at the office in the afternoon, I will go to East Side Italian Deli on my way to the office and I will eat an entire like meatball sub, just like the full thing, you know, 9 inches of meatball sub. And then I will eat an entire to-go container of potato salad, like mayonnaise potato salad. Ooh. And then I will eat an entire gigantic chocolate chip cookie because it's there. Like, just I'm worried.
I'm concerned that this podcast is turning into some sort of mukbang podcast.
I did hear there was an episode recently.
An insane meal.
Yeah, there was an episode recently where you describe making yourself a sundae and then making yourself a second sundae.
That is true. Yeah. I did do that. I have a pretty healthy lifestyle. Like, I want to be clear. Like, outside of my commitment to eating ice cream on most days, like, I eat a lot of vegetables. I eat a lot of fresh fruit. I don't eat a ton of carbs as a general rule. Don't eat a ton of bread. No, not a lot of simple carbohydrates other than the ice cream. But yeah, I do occasionally eat 12 ounces of carnitas.
So good.
I had this realization recently that I kind of decided a little while ago that I'm okay with lunch being a boring meal.
Right.
Like lunch just kind of being sustenance to get throughout the day, and the time to have a little fun is dinner. Or the time to have a little fun is breakfast, because you can kind of recoup from it, you know?
Sure. Pull out of the nosedive.
And I love having fun at breakfast.
Okay.
So I found a diner. I drop my daughter off at school in the morning, and then I drive by a stone quarry. And across from the stone quarry is a diner that's like up on a cliff, and you drive up a hill.
Ooh.
And it's this very old diner, and they put brown gravy on their home fries. Just glop it in brown gravy, and it's the best goddamn thing in the world.
Take me to the quarry diner.
And it's full of quarry people who talk about
quarry folk.
who like to bring up George Soros a weird amount. But
okay.
that brown gravy.
I mean, you can hear about the New World Order if it means getting some of that good brown.
I mean, I can hear
a screed about globalists if it means snacking on some of that good quarry brown.
That rocky brown.
I realized as a result of just kind of deciding that for me, a boring lunch is kind of the best way to go. I've eaten like 2 sandwiches in the past 5 years. I just don't eat.
What?
But I know I'm missing out on a world of sandwiches. So
can I tell you about sandwiches? I feel like...
Well, don't tell me you can eat them for dinner, because you can't. If you're going to propose that madness to me, you can shut your fool mouth.
If you have access to a good sandwich store, a sandwich is great. You know, you go to a nice sandwich store that has good bread, good filling, but like honestly, like the difference between good salami and like really good salami and pretty good salami in a sandwich is modest.
You're talking about like gabagol, like maybe prosciutto. Mortadelle, something like that.
Somebody's living in the Northeast. So, like, I think you have access
little,
to that.
A little Pauly D, a little Snooky, you know.
A little bit of that J-Wow. I do feel like to eat quality at-home sandwiches requires a lifestyle, because you have to eat enough of them to keep enough of the stuff on hand. You know what I mean? Like the
yeah,
all
you need
of
like
the
enough
ingredients
or whatever. Like you need to like bulk I guess if you can like freeze the rolls.
Yeah, but then they're not as good if you I mean you can freeze them, but then they're not as good. They're going to become desiccated.
But I have jars of pepper spread. I've got like that the red, you know, the hot pepper spread. Nice. I got that. Yeah. I got the
wait,
oil.
So Ben, are you saying you'll do a quality, you'll like put effort into a home sandwich is what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. But you know, I'm also back on the East Coast where, you know, it's the home of the hoagie. I can get a beautiful Italian sub, but you could also just go to the Italian markets here and get all that stuff. But yeah, so I keep a hoagie dressing and hot pepper spread in my house and aged provolone at all times.
That sounds great.
I applaud the commitment. I really do.
And they do a beautiful roast pork thing up here, which is great.
Oh, yeah?
Called carnitas.
Called carnitas, and you dip it into a consomme.
Can you get it by the sack?
Yeah. Meanwhile, I would love to just get a sack of meat. I can't even imagine it.
Yeah, well, it'd be so great to get
it. It's so good. My mom used to do that. There was like a by my house where I grew up, there was like a corner store. You know how like some corner stores have like a little hot bar? Like a liquor store will have like a little hot bar. The one by my house had a hot bar with chicharrones and carnitas, and you go buy carnitas by the pound in a brown paper bag, you know, that was like glistening and translucent like a window in a log cabin.
I feel like every food blog list of the best blank in blank has to contain one of those places that's like, go into a liquor store and knock on the janitor's closet. There's an old man who will be sleeping, but he's made some ribs.
But like this, that's the thing. So like a corner store is fully capable of generating high quality sandwiches.
Sure.
It's just a matter of volume. They have to meet a certain volume to be able to rotate the ingredient. Like you got to turn over the ingredients. That's the key issue. Like it's really not like the bread. There's going to be a difference between, you know, grocery store wheat bread and like a nice bread. But if they're getting a nice bread in,
a nice,
you know,
bread.
It's mostly just mayonnaise, you know, but you gotta
that's
just
basically
have some
why you eat a sandwich.
Lettuce and tomatoes on hand. You know what I mean? Like they gotta be, you gotta be turning over the sprouts or whatever.
You're right.
You're right.
Look, when I'm right, I'm right.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't fuck around about shit like this, Jordan. Yeah. You know that. We've known each other 20 years.
Hey, you might be wrong about George Soros.
Or I might be right about George Soros.
Oh, no, I don't know enough about George Soros to continue this bit. Oh, fuck.
So I've been tentatively, like, to, you know, exploring my area.
Yes. That's really healthy, yes, Ben.
Because
at your age, it's healthy to explore your
very, very
tentatively. You know what? Try gumming something a little and see if it's poisonous.
I just got the ultrasound, and apparently everything's fine. But
are we all doing different bits? I was doing a jack-off thing. Just see, what were you doing?
I was doing like a baby exploring their surroundings through sensory play.
Ben, what were you doing?
I was doing a testicular cancer check.
Yeah.
Wow.
Great. Yeah. So we all did a cool thing.
Yeah. So
whose was best? Impossible to say.
Well, easy enough to say, Jordan. None. None were good.
Sound off in the comments. Which bad bit did you like the best?
So if I go right outside my driveway, I head into town.
Exploring your area.
Yes. I head right outside my driveway. I head sort of towards Syracuse, which is a decent sized town.
Yeah.
If I go left, it's all open farmland for miles and miles and miles and miles, going on forever, sort of dotted with certain bars and, like, you know, or maybe you'll see a little diner, and they look very inviting. So I've started to go into them, but I'm just terrified. I was like, these people, like, talk about places where people will beat the shit out of you.
These, like, are locals only. This is like trying to get in the Breakers in Santa Cruz or whatever, and you're not a local. Like, you're worried that you're going to step in there. Everybody's head is going to swivel.
You don't have the Dogtown tattoo.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
You're not in the right Los Angeles Sheriff's Department gang.
So, and I also drive – I still have my Los Angeles car, which is a little mini. And everyone else has giant pickups and shit like that. So I pull into the parking lot, and I already feel a little bit weird. But so far, I have not had the shit beat out of me. I got a great recommendation for a local gun club, which is cool.
Oh, yeah. Shout them out, man. Yeah, but I think, Ben, you're a sweet man. You're one of the sweetest men I think I've ever had the pleasure of speaking to.
Oh, cutie.
But you're also, you're a very big man. I think you could, and right now, you know, just for the people who aren't watching the stream, you're wearing a kind of a boatsman's get up. Yeah. it's like a wool cap and a kind of a boating. So I bet you could easily pass. If they didn't see the mini, you could pass for a local Northeast tough guy.
Can I make a recommendation, Ben? If you wanna get the respect of the room, just come in strong. Just, you know, bust through the you know, flippy flappy door. Just walk up to the bar and throw a squid on there.
in trade for a whiskey.
Yeah.
My problem is a couple beers in, I start wanting to chat about the marvelous Miss Maisel. And, you know, the whole thing is
a story of my life.
Forget it.
Have you done quaint things? Like, what about apple cider donuts? That's a big Northeastern food.
Done a ton. I took my daughter on a tractor ride.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great.
My wife had some friends that lived in New Jersey that we visited. Some of them were buddies from college. And the main experiences that I had there were that New Jersey is beautiful. New Jersey, the famously gross state, is very beautiful.
Depends where you are, but yes.
And also that apple picking is a great thing to do. It is a very fun, pleasant activity.
It's great. And here they've opened up their own distillery. So they make like apple vodka and stuff like that. Okay. So I was like crushing Bloody Marys while picking apples with my daughter.
Let me grab that tractor.
Yes, it is really great. And a hot apple cider donut is one of the great treats of all time. I had them at my wedding.
Really?
Is an apple cider donut a fried donut or a baked donut?
It's a fried donut.
Yeah.
I mean, traditionally, yeah.
I mean, Jordan Jesse Go listeners know how I feel about the fucking bakers in the world of Richard Scarry. Who are baking donuts.
Oh, boy. Don't get him started.
Go fucking fuck themselves with these baked donuts. Oh, why would you bake a donut? Just eat a cake.
Jesse's going to start a Twitter war with Lowly Worm. Leave me out of it. I don't need a Lowly Worm in my mentions. Ben, inevitably have to come back to LA for a certain amount of time because of your thriving show business career. What are the LA foods and things that you're going to do as soon as you get back?
Well, so I'm actually coming back next month. I have started looking at super efficiency studio apartments sort of near you, actually.
Oh.
That are so small that you actually have to have one of those Murphy beds that pulls down.
Okay.
Just to have
next month, you should come to my birthday.
Yeah. It's only $3,000 a month, so I think it's pretty worth it. And it's
what a deal. Yeah.
Coming back next month, obviously got to get some sushi. Got to hit Sushi Row and, that whole line of sushi restaurants in, Studio City.
Uh-huh.
Gotta have a birria taco. I mean, that's just a given. But then it's like, I just want to go to Tam O'Shanter. I just want to get cozy at Tam O'Shanter or get some prime rib in my tum-tum. Or Smokehouse.
Oh, Smokehouse, yeah.
The Tam O'Shanter, maybe my favorite restaurant in Los Angeles, is a Scottish theme restaurant built in the 30s. Famously a place where the original famous Disney animators used to hang out. They has like a table named after them with pictures that they all drew.
Right. It was Walt's table. Walt loved the table. Yeah. Right.
And
it's where they decided they should slip some porno into the rescuers. Take down a couple of their famous Manhattans and slip a little porno into the rescuers.
This is a restaurant where you go, and if you go at lunchtime, there is a man behind a screen who will carve a prime rib sandwich for you. And then there is a bar where you can get as much potato salad as you want. And it is a dream. This restaurant is a fucking dream.
The potato salad thing was a mind bender when I realized what was happening. I was like, what?
That you could just take some?
Keep scooping?
Yeah.
scooping.
Scoop as much as you please, sir. Oh, God, that's beautiful. What a beautiful experience it is to go there and have a man carve a sandwich for you off a loaf of prime rib.
It's as cozy, and it kind of looks like Hogwarts inside.
Yes.
It's pretty fun.
Poor, there's these poor people who are lifetime professional servers who are wearing comfort shoes and are 63 years old, but also are wearing like sexy Highlander outfits from like 1960.
Jesse, do you think the next time you're there, if you bring your own paper bag, do you think you can get a pound of potato salad for the ride home?
Jesus Christ, would I love that. Just a brown paper bag glistening with mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a delight that would be.
I don't think they'd stop you. I think you could do it.
Yeah.
You know what? I could have him carve that prime rib right into the brown paper bag.
Man, just put it in the bag.
Could you bag it up for me? I brought my own bag.
The bread's at the bottom of the bag. So
yeah, I only eat out of a bag with my hands. So would you mind if I?
That's what keto is, right?
I think
eating
that's
out
right.
Of a bag with your hands.
A lot of people think that it's okay or healthy to eat all these fucking processed foods that the food industrial complex feeds us. But what we really got to do is get back to the way the cavemen eat, which is they just plunge their face into a paper bag full of prime rib.
Exactly.
The paper bags were made out of buffalo intestine, I believe, back then. But
well, they used all the parts of the buffalo, yes.
Yeah. Or a bird that said, it's a living. After it's a living. filled its mouth with
You open its mouth rib. And jam meat into it.
It's a living.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Jordan, guess what just came in my mail?
What?
Magic spoon.
Lucky, lucky duck.
My spoon had gotten, my spoons had gotten just fucking pedestrian.
Oh, man.
So earthbound.
Normal ass muggle spoons.
Oh, I hate muggle spoons. Magic spoon is a breakfast cereal that has all the taste of a treat cereal. All those sweetie treaty flavors that you remember loving when you were a kid. But it's actually pretty responsible. 0 grams of sugar, 140 calories in a serving, 13, 14 grams of protein, which really gives it some stick to your ribs in there, and only 4 net grams of carbs.
Yeah, really tasty. And you can build your own box. All kinds of great flavors. You got cocoa, fruity, frosted. Fruity and frosted are two separate flavors. I just said them together really quick.
You can mix them.
Hey, if you want fruity frosted, you just take a little bit of fruity, take a little bit of frosted. Boom, you got it. Peanut butter, cookies and cream, maple waffle, blueberry, cinnamon, plus the newly reformulated, gimme honey nut flavor.
I'll eat anything reformulated. I eat so many shampoos.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they improve a shampoo, I'll eat that for a little while, see how it goes.
Maybe don't do that. But hey, what you can do is eat Magic Spoon. That honey nut flavor can be now added to Magic Spoon's permanent collection. That's right. It's in the roster. And all this stuff isn't just great for breakfast. You can have it as a midnight snack. I love to do that. If you got a little sweet tooth late at night, grab yourself a handful of Magic Spoon. You're going to be having a good time.
This is big news for Honey Nut.
I'm so happy for Honey Nut.
You know, to be added to the permanent collection, this is like when, you know, the button-down mind of Bob Newhart gets put in the Library of Congress.
This is exactly
that's what
like
we're
that.
Talking
this
about
is exactly
here.
Like that. Yes.
Go to magicspoon.com/JJGO to grab a custom bundle of cereal and be sure to use our promo code JJGO at checkout to save $5 off your order.
And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. That's magicspoon.com/JJGO and use the code JJGO to save $5 off.
Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. We're also supported this week by the good people at BetterHelp. Now, Jordan.
Yes.
You and I both love and need therapy.
Both. I agree with you. Yes, you're correct.
And we've both benefited immensely from therapy. We are big therapy advocates here at Jordan Jesse Go. There are many great ways to get therapy. You go to a community clinic. You could see somebody in private practice. You could, you know, look, there's a lot of, you could go to your health center at your university. there's a lot of ways to get therapy. And one, the one that is sponsoring this podcast, is BetterHelp.
BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to.
It's more affordable than most in-person therapy, and you can give it a try to see if online therapy can help you out, whether it's because you're having major issues or minor issues. You know, like therapy is not just helpful for, you know, major depression, for example, although it is helpful for that. It's also helpful just to help you deal with stress, help you unburden yourself. Like, I know that I have gotten a lot out of therapy when I was truly in crisis. I've also gotten a lot out of therapy when I wasn't in crisis. That was the time that helped me build the relationships that got me through crises, and also the time that I was able to, like, really make personal growth a priority.
Yeah, it's a really, really awesome thing to have in your life. And if you're going through a tough time, it's awesome to have. But even if you're not going through a tough time, you're building a great foundation for when one of those tough times inevitably springs up. You have a support system and you have techniques. It's really great. And we hope that if it's something you're considering, that you check it out. And BetterHelp is one way to do that. Jordan Jesse Go listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/JJGo. That's BETTERHELP.com/JJGo.
We also have a message up on the Jumbotron this week. That's where our listeners can offer messages to our listeners. We have a message here from Kate for Ethan. Jordan, would you like to read this message this week? I'm going to give you the chance to read this.
I would love to. Hey, Chook, I fraunt you. Turns out you did hear about it on the Jordan Jesse Go Jumbotron. Love your Lovio. Well, these two sound fun.
Hey, Jordan, can I tell you something? Something I've been meaning to tell you for a long time. How long have we been working together?
Boy, 14, 15 years at this point?
I mean, that's just on Jordan Jesse Go, because we started 20 years ago on college
it's gotta
radio,
be.
Right?
It's got to be. Got to be somewhere around there.
So I just want to say something that I've been meaning to say. I've been scared to say it, frankly, until Kate really. Chook, I front you.
Thank
there,
you.
I said it. I got up. Chook, I front you. You.
Thank you. Love you.
Or Lovo.
Lovo.
Could be Lovo.
Love. And anyway, I think I Lovio sounds, it rolls off the tongue a little bit better for me.
I
for
don't know.
Me,
I kind of like Lovo. It reminds me of the Thundercats.
Well, yeah, that's right. Well, hey, whether you're a Lovo or a Lovio, you can get your message on the Jumbotron.
Isn't Kerry Kenny's dad one of the Thundercats?
I don't know.
Kerry Kenny Silver from Reno 911 in the state, among other things.
That would be really cool.
I think her
cool.
dad is a Thundercat. I think Neat. He's Lovo from the Thundercats.
Good old Lovo.
Okay. Well, if you want to get up on the Jumbotron, it's MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. Well, look, tell your Lovo you fraunch them.
Tell your Lovo. Tell the world who your favorite Thundercat is.
You know what? You know why we don't make more money with these Lovo messages, Jordan? I mean, really, let's be honest. We make most of our money on Jordan Jesse Go by charging people $100 to tell someone they love them.
Yes.
That's our main source of income on this show. The reason, you know what the reason that we don't do it more is? Because in any given couple, there are two people.
Right.
One who listens to Jordan Jesse Go and one who's angry and confused if right. their partner listens to that
if they
show.
Like accidentally hear some or their
like,
partner
the fuck is
describing
this?
Something that was
what
happening
is this why are you telling me about this says one loving partner to another.
No radio lab exists, god damn it.
Why do you listen to those men? MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron.
That's not very Lovio of them.
Tell your Chook you fraunch them. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I'm Ben Gruber. I'm a New Yorker now.
Ben's hooking here.
Benny!
Give me $1 slice. Something about the bagels in the water.
How are your many cousins? Tell me about those many cousins.
Let's open up this fire hydrant. It's summer.
And to be clear, I'm not talking about your numerous cousins. I'm talking about your tiny little cousins. Hey. Your mini cousins. Who am I?
Pizza Rat, how you doing? I haven't seen you around in a while.
I was in jail.
Oh, no, Pizza Rat, what happened?
For tax evasion.
Ben, what would you say is your number one favorite bodega cat?
My number one? Actually, named Cleopatra.
Oh.
It used to like to jump on my girlfriend's shoulder and chew on her hair.
Oh, that rules.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Cleopatra was great.
Sounds like a winner. Man, I went to the Pasadena City College flea market today, and it had been closed for a long time. And this is maybe like the third or fourth month that it's been open. And it's my favorite. And I had forgotten about this, but there's this truck that comes from the Pasadena Humane Society full of dogs. And they just park this truck and bring these fucking dogs out and you can go pet them. And dear Lord, God, I want to take those dogs home. God, I want to buy a dog from these people. Oh, I want to give them my $200 and take a dog. Oh, so bad.
You've got a bunch of animals, right?
I got two dogs already.
Yeah, so a third children. Dog. What's a third dog?
The children are the wild animals in my house.
Wait, am I hosting a podcast with Dave Barry now? Yes, finally.
Man, I wish we were hosting a podcast with Dave Barry. Man, Dave Barry used to come on when I worked on this radio show, West Coast Live. Dave Barry's brother was the musician on the show often, and he was married to my boss, Dave Barry's brother, Sam Barry, lovely man. Dave Barry used to come around a lot, you know, when he had a book or whatever. And you know how, like, you would kind of imagine Dave Barry would be, like, in a best case scenario, like kind of a sweet, funny dork, you know what I mean? Just like funny and just charming and pleasant. And just like a kind of dude that would like give you a hug when he saw you, because that is exactly what Dave Barry is like, man. Dave Barry is just the nicest fucking dude. You're just like, wait. It's like when you meet Weird Al and he's so nice. You're just like, yeah, thanks for doing this. Like, I appreciate it. Thanks for brightening my 12-year-old year.
Can I tell you that? So Weird Al was in my Amazon show. Way back, man, could that guy take down a pizza?
Hell yeah.
Weird Al.
God bless him.
Just absolutely mowing entire pies. Incredible.
Like his own pie?
Yeah, basically. He'll eat a full large pie.
Just throw that thing in a brown paper bag and hand it to Weird Al. He'll take it down.
I'm trying to think, are there any Weird Al pizza songs? There seems like
it seems like there would be a whole album,
right?
At some point, like a album length Rush parody, but it's all about pizza.
Just pizza.
Right, yeah. It's like a Flaming Lips thing. You have to play it on three different boom boxes playing at you simultaneously.
Today's Tom Saucer.
Weird Al's concept album.
It gets pie on you.
Like yeah, okay, all right. Yeah. That's about as good as we're going to do.
I mean, we're no Weird Al. That's why
that's
he's
true,
Weird Al
yeah.
and we're not.
I don't know
he's
enough about Rush.
Pretty good at rapping, too. What the
pretty
fuck,
good at
Weird
rapping.
Al? How is Weird Al the one
pretty good at metal singing?
How is Weird Al like the one guy before the one white dude before like 2012 that like did comedy rap respectfully? Like respected rap as an art form.
I think that's Weird Al's thing. He's respectful.
I know. So respectful. Really got that's a why, lot of admiration
yeah, that's
for
why
him.
he's gone through that entire career with only a few beefs to his name.
What kind of pizza would Weird Al take down, Ben?
You know, it was a couple of years ago. I can't remember. I want to say it was a pepperoni, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to misrepresent this, Ben.
I don't want to smear the poor man.
You're not a rumor monger.
But I hope that it's represented in his new the new bio movie that's being made about him. I'm hoping that Harry Potter is just throwing back pies.
Right.
Is Harry Potter playing Weird Al in a bio movie?
Harry Potter
yes.
playing Weird Al.
Yes.
Good for him.
To the delight of all 12-year-olds, Harry Potter is playing Weird Al.
Just a 12-year-old supernova.
Yeah.
God, what a beautiful thing. When something momentous happens to you, like you find out what kind of pizza Weird Al takes down, I could see him taking down a Hawaiian pizza.
Because he got the shirts.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I will say this. He was wearing a Hawaiian shirt while taking down the pizza.
Wow. Yeah.
I just wish I could remember what kind of pizza it was.
And it's not just, I mean, not just because of the shirts. I feel like that's the most irreverent pizza.
It is. It's a little weird.
It has a genial irreverence that I associate with Weird Al.
Do you think it's sillier than like when they take a bunch of meatballs and like make a happy face with them on the pizza?
No, that's insane. That's insane. That's insane, Ben. Okay. That's not irreverent. That's against God.
Sorry.
That's in Deuteronomy. Thou shalt not make a happy face of sausages.
Thou shalt not make a craven image of man on the pie. Man's image must not appear on pie.
Thou shalt not eat thy pie with a knife and fork. Yes. Thou shalt not make a craven image of man on the pie.
Yes, so saith Papa John.
Wait, Papa John wrote a book of the Bible? Is this one of the Gnostic Gospels?
Yeah.
The Dead Sea Scroll is just about pizza, and Papa John wrote it. Yeah.
The Dead Sea Scroll is basically just a menu.
Right.
Render unto Little Caesar.
What is Little Caesar's? Yes.
Okay, when something momentous happens to you, give us a call or 206-984-4FUN, or just send us a voice memo at jjgo@maximumfun.org. Here's one of those momentous occasions right now.
Hey, this is Josh calling from Yuma, Arizona. I was just listening to the most recent episode and heard Jesse talk about spring training and how only rich kids go there, as well as great baseball names. So I just wanted to share that as a lifelong San Francisco Giants fan, I just went to spring training games for the first time in my life. And I have a momentous occasion to report, which Jesse will appreciate. And that is that my daughter was able to get an autograph from Brandon Crawford. Now, we did not plan in advance for this in any way. So she got her autograph on a piece of notebook paper signed with a green gel sparkle pen.
Fuck yeah.
She reported to me afterwards that she told Brandon Crawford that she loved him so much. He did not respond, and all of the boys who were waiting for autographs, she was the only girl, looked at her funny after that. Thanks.
What a load of bullshit. Fuck you, boys. This is something she's going to treasure for the rest of her life. She got Brandon Crawford's autograph in green sparkle gel pen. What else would you want to get that man's autograph in? You want it on notebook paper and green sparkle pen.
It seems like it's the fanciest of all inks, right? So it would be like a huge occasion.
It's got diamonds inside it.
Yeah. From the fanciest of all shortstops.
Ground up diamonds. Yeah, you know what? I'm really ashamed of the boys. I'm changing the rules to my treehouse. No boys allowed.
Thanks, Jordan. Thank you very much. Flip the script on them. That's what I say.
Yeah.
The boys are not back in town.
The boys are not. Thank you, Ben. The boys are not. It's empty at Dino's Bar and Grill. There's no boys in this town.
There's a video on. Well, there's two really high quality things about San Francisco Giants shortstop Brandon Crawford. I mean, he's a great ball player, certainly. One is that there is a picture of him as like a 5 or 6 year old. At Candlestick Park, when the Giants had announced that they were going to move to Tampa Bay, Florida, which is like the most traumatic moment of my entire childhood, including the time that my father was at the bottom of the stairs, screaming up the stairs that my mother had kidnapped me. And it was definitely worse when the Giants said they were going to move to Tampa. There's this incredible picture that ran in the San Francisco Chronicle of Brandon Crawford, the now Giants shortstop, as a 6-year-old holding a sign begging the owner of the Giants not to move them to Florida. And he is the most beautiful, adorable 6-year-old. That is one good thing. But there is this video of him as like a 20-year-old or 22-year-old when he was in
like double A, minor league baseball player, just a local TV thing. That's just him doing his infield practice, but his infield practice is just him doing like 20,000 like crazy Harlem Globetrotters things, catching ground balls. And it really speaks to my desire in my heart for that to be the best way to practice sports. That like anytime athletes are not in a game, they're like shooting backwards with their back to the hoop, or like, you know, jumping off a trampoline to do a slam dunk, or like catching the ball in their armpit. You know what I mean?
Just showing the generals who's boss.
Exactly. Like, it seems like it feels right that doing crazy stuff would make you good at doing regular stuff. Right. And seeing Brandon Crawford, a great shortstop, do this, and he's not like doing it as a gag, like he is trying to practice, doing crazy stuff to practice. I just love it because it makes me imagine that that's what's happening behind the scenes in all sports leagues.
What would you do if you saw him shag a fly ball into a bag full of meat?
Oh, God. I'd have to buy myself a new pair of trousers. Yeah.
You would bust. Talk about busting. You would bust.
You'd bust.
Yeah.
No question about that. I'd split my seams, if you know what I'm talking about.
Ben has, as a noted cartoon professional, if you got to like stoke your daughter with any special privileges, if you got to like introduce her to the snowman that Josh Gad plays or something.
Oh, like has she met anyone?
Yeah. Have you been able to give her any of the perks of being in the cartoon business?
No. And I keep trying to show her like things of mine and she just doesn't give a shit yet. But something kind of happened recently that I guess sort of goes along with that. So the local high school was putting on SpongeBob the Musical.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've befriended our neighbors. So their son goes there. And the mother asked us if we wanted to go. So we took Winnie to go see it. And she loved it. And she keeps asking me if I wrote it. And I was like, no, but I wrote the TV show. Do you want to watch that? No.
You're like, can you introduce me to Jonathan Colton, Dad?
Please. The local high school was advertising, like they have like a TV station at the high school. And they were showing, you know, things, coming attraction or whatever for the play. And then they showed the writers for it. Like, I guess they wikied it, but they wikied the wrong thing. So I came up as the writer of the thing.
Wow.
So my neighbor came over and she's like, did you write the SpongeBob musical? And I wanted to lie and be like a big shot about it. But no.
You knew in your heart.
It wasn't
Jonathan Colton. You're very honest. You're very honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really like trying to find something in show business that will impress your children is really hard. And I like landed on something right before the pandemic that was such a fucking home run with my daughter, which was, I have a friend named Brendan Hay, and he is a very nice, very funny comedy dude, who is the boss of, or at least a sub boss of, a cartoon show of Gremlins that is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter loves Gremlins. And so he was like, you know, I heard that Grace is really into Gremlins. If she ever wants to like come by the office or something like that, she totally can. Like we'd be totally glad to have her. And I was like, my daughter's going to fucking love this. And then there was a global pandemic, guys. Mm. And I like the show is still going to come out, but they never had an office.
Right.
It wiped the office off the map. The only time I ever, I made an entire radio show with Pee Wee Herman and I couldn't convince my kids to care.
just tell your kids you made Minecraft, whatever. They don't know.
Minecraft.
I made a, you know, Minecraft. That was me.
You know, she's only like been sort of sentient really for like a couple years now. She's just four. Right. So while we were in California, most of it was a pandemic, really, for her.
Sure, sure.
So, yeah, she never got to see anything. I could never took her to a studio, never did anything.
I mean, like, speaking of Minecraft, Jordan, like, Hodgman, there's a Minecraft TV show called Minecraft Story Mode. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it still exists, but there's definitely a few seasons of it on Netflix or something. And when my kids were watching that, I, like, heard it in the background. I'm like, fuck, that's fucking Hodgman. And I went and told them, they know Hodgman. Like, John has been in our house on multiple occasions. You know what I mean? Like, he's one of my best friends. And, like, they were completely unimpressed by the fact that a guy they know was on the TV show they were watching. I would have flipped out if I met a guy who was on the KTVU news.
Nick Adams has the best version of this, and maybe he's told it on the show, but Nick Adams, repeat, former famous recurring guest on this show, has worked on BoJack Horseman, and so he knows Will Arnett, and then he was walking with his kids and ran across Will Arnett, and he's like, hey, kids, let me introduce you to Batman. And then I guess Will Arnett did the Batman voice for the kids, and they God fucking bless. Flipped. So, yeah.
Our old colleague, Julius Smith, who was the producer of Bullseye long ago and the producer of Judge John Hodgman for a long time, her husband was in the band The Aquabats, and he worked on Yo Gabba Gabba, the television show that they made. He's not in The Aquabats anymore, but I think he still works on their family of television products. And he was one of the characters in Yo Gabba Gabba, he was the voice of one of the costume characters. I don't remember which one was which, frankly. But he was one of those guys. And one time Julia was telling me that, like, often friends of theirs who had kids in the Yo Gabba Gabba demographic would ask Adam, like, for their kid's birthday or something, to, like, call and do the voice of Roby or whichever one of the Broby, whichever one of the Yo Gabba Gabbas that Adam was. And he would do it, and she was like, and usually they cry.
Wow. Like,
usually they're upset by this.
Too confusing.
I used to, like, when I worked on SpongeBob as a staff writer, they would do a lot of tours around Nickelodeon. And I used to enjoy – so our head writer was actually the voice of Plankton, this guy Doug Lawrence. He does Plankton. So when the tours would come through, I'd constantly be like, hey, kids, you know who this is? So he'd have to go through doing the voice.
This upsetting villain.
I'm just – let me put it this way. Jordan and I are available to make birthday calls as long as you're cool with us making your children cry.
I would be fine with that.
Whether they know who we are or not, that will probably be the ultimate result of us calling them. We have one more momentous occasion. Let's hear it.
Hey, guys. This is Marissa calling in from New Hampshire for your long-running segment, How JJ Go Changed My Life. Well, about this time last year, I was listening to your podcast, and Jesse, you spoke about how impactful your dad's sponsor was on your life. That got me to thinking about the type of community in which I want my kids to grow up. And that, combined with a few other factors, made me get my butt to an AA meeting. And today is the 1-year anniversary of my sobriety. It's been hard and wonderful, and life is so much better today than it was a year ago. I just wanted to call and say thank you. I know that this show gets billed as a show about nothing, but all of that nothing is really real and really impactful. So thank you. I love you guys. Love your show. Bye.
Okay. First of all, love you too. Congratulations. One day at a time. Ben, I don't want to leave you out of this. Probably one of the other factors was Jellystone. Right. I mean, she mentioned that there were other factors.
Also, I don't want to interrupt these good feelings, but, I think she thought she was calling Seinfeld. She said this is billed as a show about, which was famously, right. and I don't know.
We don't know if she thought she had
to. I know our number is one number off from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
We're 206-984-4FUN, and he's 206-984-4FUD. I don't know why.
He famously loves Superman and Elmer Fudd.
Elmer Fudd, yes. So, yeah, so I think this is probably just a, I mean, you know, congratulations call. I don't know if she'll ever hear this. She's right. Probably just like looking for this call on Seinfeld reruns.
Yeah. She's probably
play around
watching Channel 24 right now.
Yeah, around 11 p.m.
Why aren't they bringing me up?
Yeah.
So hopefully if somebody knows this caller, they can relay this, our, you know, our congratulations and our thanks to her. And
her family probably thanks her too. Everybody around her is probably grateful. And look, I'll say this about this, Jordan. Mm-hmm. As somebody, you know, I grew up in a family where two of my three parental figures were in recovery. It really, the fact that they were in recovery, the fact that they got sober, it was like so essential to me growing up to have like a healthy and productive life. Like if they had had the lives they had before they got sober when I was around, or at least when I was older, I don't think I would have had the chances and opportunities I had to have a happy, healthy life. And so I just want to say to this caller that like, if he had heard it, Kramer would be proud of you.
Yeah. And not just Kramer, but Newman, the soup Nazi, Poppy.
All of the various ethnic caricatures that populate Seinfeld's New York would be proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
You said you had three parental figures. Did you grow up in a throuple?
Yes, I did grow up in a – no, my father was remarried, so I had a stepmother as well. Both my father and stepmother were clean and sober. So that was definitely an important part of my childhood, for sure.
Yeah, but think about how cool it would have been if there was a throuple.
Yeah. I mean,
hot.
Hot, man.
Definitely, if there was three people I wish spent more time all together, it's my father, my stepmother, and my mother. They definitely all really liked each other and got along great.
That'd have been hot.
I mean, this was San Francisco in the
80s and 90s, yeah.
80s or whatever. Yeah, that. Man. Sexy times, man.
It was San Francisco in the 80s.
And hot town.
Known for its punk rockers on muni buses, for its whales in transparent aluminum enclosures, for its guys in space outfits wandering around like fish out of water.
Was that a thing?
Just describing the plot of Star Trek. For its guys talking into computer mice.
One of the five
hello computer
we talk about on the show. Mm-hmm.
Do you know that guy is back? And not that guy. Sorry, someone from that movie is back. Do you know the dude on the bus who plays his music too loud? Like he's playing punk rock music.
Yeah, the punk rock guy, and then Spock murders him for playing music too loud.
Yes, that dude is back in Picard this season.
Whoa,
of Picard.
The bus punk rock guy?
As the same
guy?
No
way.
Yes. Swear to God.
The story I heard about that I don't know if is right or not is that guy was a musician and they had him playing some like stock music that he felt was not authentic punk rock. So he wrote that song.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know if that's true.
He is like a famous, gosh, he was like an important. Ooh, not remembering this, and Star Trek nerds are going to get so mad at me, and San Francisco nerds are going to get just as mad at me because it's the one thing that intersects in those things. He's either like a really important ILM guy or a really important like Muppet guy. I can't remember which, but he worked on the production and was a real punk rock guy, and that's how he got that part. My friend Peter Hartlob is a columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle who he writes like he's like in charge of their morgue. Like he goes and writes things based on the old stuff that's appeared in the Chronicle and like stuff that San Franciscans care about. Like he's written multiple big things about It's.
The ice cream sandwich?
Yes, absolutely. This is like the core of San Francisco identity is It's based. Okay. Just think of it this way. We feel about It's the way you feel about a gabagool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Now
or
I understand.
A canoe.
I get it now.
Or the situation.
So, yeah, like he wrote a big, giant retrospective on that guy, like a history of that guy. And that guy turned out to be a super cool dude. And that totally, you're right. You're totally right, Jordan. Like that was like his band's music because he felt like the stuff they gave him was too corny.
Ben, I didn't know you were a Star Trek guy to the point where you're like watching the spinoffs.
I watch them all. I watched every single one. I listen to Star Trek podcasts.
Wow.
One by you know, there's one with Andy Secunda
Matt Myra.
And Matt Myra.
Yeah.
I listened to that.
And listen, Ben, if there's a famous Star Trek podcast host, they've been on this show.
Yeah. Yeah. Ben, my best friend accidentally became a full-time professional Star Trek podcaster. So we're on board. Okay. 206-984-4FUN. JJGO at MaximumFun.org. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jessica. La, 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 la,
la, la, la, la. Hey, were you a reader as a kid? Like maybe you read a lot of fantasy novels.
Or horse girl books. We know how it is.
But now you're an adult and you miss reading. You're so busy and you can't figure out how to get back into books.
We're Reading Glasses, and we're here to help.
Yeah, we'll give you advice to figure out what books you love or learn to stop reading books you don't even like.
We're really big proponents of dumping that book.
Dump that book.
But most importantly, we'll help you fall back in love with reading. Reading Glasses, every Thursday on Maximum Fun. La, la,
la, la, la. Congratulations, you've won a ticket to attend an exclusive opportunity in a relaxing environment with two lovers.
Wow. Well, this sounds like a sort of proposition of sorts, but really it's an ad for our podcast. Wonderful. It's a show we do here on Maximum Fun where we talk about things that we like and things that we're into.
I'm Rachel McElroy, and you just heard Griffin McElroy, and we are excited for you to join us as we talk about movies and music and books.
Things like sneezing or the idea of rain.
Can you get news or information you can use?
Absolutely
so.
You cannot, because we're here to talk to you about pumpernickel bread.
You can find new episodes on Wednesdays.
So catch the wave. La, 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 la,
la, la, la, la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I'm Ben Gruber, and I'm walking over here.
He's walking.
He's walking. Look, the guy's walking.
Yeah. Over here.
Over there. There he is.
Here, look
at
me.
Do his thing.
Let the man walk, for God's sake. He just wants to walk over here.
Benjamin Gruber, it's been a joy to have you on the program. Are you going to send us some of those donuts?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'll send you some cider, some donuts, a wing. I'm sure that'll travel well.
Yeah.
The garbage plate from Rochester. I'll send you the garbage plate.
That'd be great.
Oh, I'd love a garbage plate. What do you got in what's in a garbage plate? What are the elements?
Two hamburger patties, a split hot dog, mac salad, I believe, and some sort of like a meat, like a very thin meat gravy of some sort, like a meat sauce, a very thin meat sauce over top.
I'm loving most of this. I don't like the plate. Can we fit it into a sack? Can we put this all into a paper sack?
It looks like it's got mustard and ketchup on top of it, too.
Oh, is that it? Okay, there you go.
Hots and potots. Fried potatoes, baked beans, hot dogs, onions, mustard, and meat sauce. Holy cow.
This is like a famous drunk food. This is like a...
Yeah, like a regional specialty, yeah. Well, yeah.
The base items are home fries, pasta salad, baked beans, mac and cheese, french fries, and other similar items. Then that's the
other
foundation.
Similar items.
Then it's topped with either grilled Red Hots, cheeseburgers. Cheeseburgers.
Wow.
That's probably my... What would you say is your favorite topping? Cheeseburgers?
Yeah. That's like a top topping. Yeah.
Kind of sundae.
Yeah. I just love a steak on top.
Yeah. And then meat sauce, onions, and bright yellow mustard.
Wow.
Often served with a soft roll or a few slices of white bread to sop up all the liquid.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in for this.
I'll sop.
What a nightmare.
You'll eat that out of a sack. You don't give a shit.
I'm a simp for the sop.
You are a famous sop simp.
I'm a sop simp over here.
Sack me, daddy.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I love absorbing things.
Wait, can I go back to your meat sack for a second? I have to go back to your meat sack.
Please. But I insist.
Did you have cutlery or were you just fisting the meat out of the bag?
No, I was eating it with my hands.
Okay.
100% eating it with my hands. I'm driving stick.
I have sanitary issues.
Driving stick.
I'm concerned about hygiene now.
I have this tiny van and it has a stick shift. So I'm working the clutch, moving between gears, and then reaching over to the passenger seat with my left hand, pulling handfuls of mm-hmm. hot meat out of the bag.
Like wet? It's like pretty wet meat.
It's right? It's juicy.
Okay.
I wouldn't say wet.
Oh, this meat was so wet.
It's oily, you know. But everyone who listens to the show knows I'm an oily boy.
So your stick shift now is just covered in carnitas goo?
It nurtures the leather on the knob.
Oh, so soft. It's so supple
right,
now.
Right.
You got to nurture the knob.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get some oil on the knob, you're going to have trouble with chafing.
Ugh. I can't believe how smooth your knob is now. So nice.
Smooth and porky.
Look, if you're looking for a great animated children's program, why not check out Jellystone?
Yeah.
On which Ben is the story editor. It's very fucking funny, so you should just watch it with the whole family.
On HBO Max. It's every single Hanna-Barbera character ever created.
In a fight to the death.
All in one show.
Yogi Bear has a trident and a net.
It's all of your favorite comedy folks do voices. A lot of famous guests of this program. You got a Ron Funches in there. You got a Nicole Thurman. You got a Paul F. Tompkins. Tom Lennon hasn't been on the show, but he's Top Cat. He's very funny. It's great. Dana Snyder. Dana Snyder's hilarious on Jellystone.
Dana Snyder, there's an underappreciated Jordan Jesse Go legend, Dana Snyder. We got to get Dana back.
We got to have Snyder back.
He's great.
What a sweet guy. What a fucking funny dude.
Yeah, he is so funny on the show. Yeah, Jellystone is legit hilarious. It's great. Just packed with dumb jokes and sight gags and fun songs. It's great. It's hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, it's a living.
It's a living. The Flintstones garbage disposal would say.
Did we talk about that on the air or beforehand? Sorry if we talked about it beforehand and that's confusing. I don't remember. Our theme music is Love You by the Free Design.
More sense. Whatever.
What is a podcast if not saying things?
Mm-hmm.
206-9844-FUN, jjgo@maximumfun.org. Our theme music, Love You by the Free Design. Thanks to the Free Design and Light in the Attic Records. Brian Sunny D. Fernandez is our producer on the stream this evening, Valerie Moffitt. Go subscribe to the Max Fun YouTube channel on Sunday evenings. We've been live streaming this thing. Look, when do we start? When we're ready. When the guest's microphone is working and all that shit, that's when we start. Okay? We're doing our best. You're lucky that we give you this gift. The gift of our beautiful pusses.
Oh, my punim. My beautiful punim that they're saying. My Shayna punim.
Hey, I'm talking here.
I said sop simp earlier and I'm grossed out, honestly. So we found my limit.
You said sop simp earlier, and I'm already texting Brian to design a t-shirt. So that's all. Look, maximumfun.reddit.com, on Instagram at Jordan David Morris, at put.this.on, on Twitter at Jordan_Morris, at Jesse Thorne. Follow us on those social medias. Like us on Facebook. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jessica.
I'll hug you and kiss you and love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.